like to tell
you. You undersized burglar! By the beard of Durin, I wish I had Gandalf here.
I only just...
Curse him for his choice of you. May his beard wither.
Oh, Durin, you're hurting me.
Hurting you? I will kill you, you wretched creature.
No, put me down.
Down onto the rocks with you.
Your wish is granted, Durin. Stay your hands, I'm afraid.
Durin, the old man holding the Arkenstone. It is Gandalf.
If you don't like my burglar, please don't damage him. Just put him down.
Very well. Go down to your friends, you descendant of rats, before I change my mind and hurl you down.
Oh, yes, of course. Goodbye.
Doreen, we will give you until tomorrow. At noon, we will return and see if you have brought from the hoard the portion that is to be set against the stone. If that is done without deceit, then we will depart, and the elf host will go back to the forest. Meanwhile, farewell!
Taurine, are you going to give in to them?
Give in? Don't be a fool. Send for Roach. Bid him take word to my cousin Dane to come with his dwarves at the greatest speed possible.
Your Majesty.
What is it, Bilbo?
An army of dwarves is approaching.
Thank you, Bilbo. My lord king, it is surely Dane and his dwarves. They must have marched double-paced through the night.
Warned by Durin, somehow, I do not doubt.
Yes, as I thought. Dane approaches. Let the mighty dwarf pass. Hail! I am Bard of the Lakemen. This is the king of the Wood Elves.
Hail, Bard! Hail, Elven King. I and my dwarves are hasting to our kinsmen in the mountain, since we learn that the kingdom of old is renewed. But why do you sit as foes before defended walls?
We are waiting till noon for your cousin Taurine to fulfill his bargain.
Bargain?
1/12 of the dragon's treasure in exchange for the Arkenstone.
The Ark? You have the Arkenstone?
We do. Show him, Gandalf.
There. Oh. The heart of the mountain. You dare to bargain with the sacred stone?
To avoid battle, I do so bargain.
I ask for passage for my dwarves through your army. The way to the mountain is blocked.
You and your dwarves must stay where you are. Until midday.
We shall see. One dwarf.
Oh, dear. He's very angry.
The treasure will be claiming more lives today.
Do you think he means to fight us?
He is even now giving the signal for the dwarves to attack.
Men and elves, to your post.
Dwarves, to the attack!
Come more swiftly than I guess. See, to the north, that great black cloud, bats like a sea of locusts. They fly above an army, the army of Bolg.
Bolg, goblins.
Aye, goblins and their hogans. They ride upon wolves, and wargs are following.
Let's Dane come into the council at once with Bard and the Elven King. We must join forces against the evil denizens of the north.
Upon victory depends not just the treasure, nor only our lives, but the whole future and well-being of Middle Earth.
They are forced!
Come on. goblins, with the bats, wolves, and the wild ones. And on the other, elves, men, and dwarves. At first, victory seemed at hand. But sheer weight of numbers was too much even for the combined strength of Bard, Dane, and the Elven King. Slowly, they were driven back.
Gandalf! Gandalf, look! It's Thorin! He and his dwarves have climbed down the Bell Tree.
Oh, Gandalf, they'll all be killed.
I have tarried here long enough, and all my sword glumdering must leave goblins once again.
Oh, no, don't go, Gandalf. Don't leave.
Where the magic ring will go. But keep well out of the way. The ring may make you invisible, but it won't save you from a chance arrow or a flying spear. No? Farewell until we meet again.
Don't go.
Keep back,
I say. Gandalf will be slain. They'll all be slain. They must be. The eagles are coming. They're tearing the goblins to bits.
There's still not enough of them.
What's that? It's Bjorn. Bjorn has come. Oh, the goblins. No!
Bilbo Baggins, B-A-W-G. Ooh.
It is well that I found you.
Are you much hurt?
But I have a nasty knock on the head, I think.
I will carry you down to the camp in the valley.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
You are needed. The day is won, but Keely and Feely are dead, and Thorin is grievously wounded.
Thorin?
He asked for you.
Come on.
From you, and I would take back my words and deeds at the gate.
Oh, no. Farewell, King Under the Mountain. This is a bitter adventure if it was then so. And not a mountain in gold can amend it. Yet I'm glad that I shared in your perils. That's been more than any Baggins deserves.
No. No. There is more in you of good than you know, child of the kindly West. Some courage and wisdom blended in measure. If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell.
Thank you, Torrid. Well?
Here, Torin. Lay I the Arkenstone upon your breast. Let it lie there until the mountain falls, and may it bring good fortune to all your folk that dwell hereafter.
In your tomb, Torin, lay I your sword, Orcrist. Never was it wielded by a mightier hand.
As I assume my cousin's throne, I now assume his obligations. Torin has his Arkenstone, and I will honor the agreement of the dead. 1/14 of the treasure shall be given to Bard of the Lake Men. To you, King of the Elves, I give the Emeralds of Girion. And as for you, Bilbo Baggins, although you have laid aside your claim, we would give you something.
Oh, no, really, I couldn't.
I insist. You I would reward most richly of all.
Oh, yes, but I... I suppose perhaps just... Just 2 chests, you know, 1 of silver, 1 of gold. That's as much as I can manage.
Come, Bilbo, all is ready.
Farewell, Balin.
Farewell, Bilbo.
And farewell, Balin. And farewell to you all.
Farewell.
May your beards never grow thin.
Farewell, Corin Oakenshield. And Keely and Feely.
Goodbye, Bilbo. And good luck wherever you journey.
Thank you.
If you visit us again when our halls are made fair once more, then the feast shall indeed be splendid.
Ah, thank you, Balin. And if ever you're passing my way, don't wait to knock. Tea is at 4, you know. But any of you are welcome at any time. Farewell!
Farewell!
The elf host was on the march back to Mirkwood. Bilbo and Gandalf rode behind the Elven King, and beside them stood Beorn, once again in man's shape, and he laughed and sang in a loud voice throughout the journey. At length, they drew near to the borders of the forest, where the river flowed out.
No further, Mr. Baggins, I think.
No.
Farewell, O Elven King. Merry be the greenwood while the world is yet young, and merry be all your folk.
Farewell, O Gandalf. Farewell, Beorn, my old friend. We see each other too late.
Maybe we do. The cares of our domains keep us apart.
You must visit me in the spring.
With joy. The misty mountains contain precious few goblins to worry my animals now. Farewell.
Farewell, Beorn. Farewell.
Farewell, Gandalf.
Farewell, Elven King.
Farewell, Bilbo.
Oh, farewell. Farewell, Goodwood Elves. Farewell. Bilbo. Yes, coming. Bye.
By midwinter, Gandalf and Bilbo had come all the way back along the edges of the forest to Beorn's house, where they stayed for Yuletide, and indeed for many weeks after. It was an early spring morning, and a fair one with a bright sun, when they finally took their leave of the ancient and strange creature.
Yes, and with regret, I might add, for though I longed for home, Beorn's house had been so warm and merry and safe.
It was on May the 1st that the two came at last to the brink of the Valley of Rivendell. The High Elves came out to greet them and led them across the water to the house of Elrond.
welcome, Gandalf the Grey. And welcome, Bilbo Baggins. The burglar, I believe.
Oh, thank you, Elrond.
There are many eager ears waiting to hear of your adventures.
Ah, well,
but first, I have news for you. The necromancer has at last been driven from his hold in the south of Mirkwood.
What is it?
By the wizards and masters of law.
The same. You knew of it?
Let us say I had a hand in the happenings in the south. Ere long now, the forests will grow somewhat more wholesome. The north will also be free from horror for many long years, I hope. Yet I wish the necromancer were banished from the world altogether.
It would be well indeed. But I fear that will not come about in this age of the world. Or for many after. Now for your tale.
Yes,
and miss nothing out in the telling, my.
No. It all began nearly a year ago when I called on Mr. Baggins here one tea time with 13 dwarves led by Taryn Oakenshield. I may say that the Hobbit wasn't at all pleased to see us.
Well,
you weren't.
Weariness fell from me in that place, and I had many a merry jest and dance early and late with the high elves of the valley. Yet even Elrond's house could not long delay me now, and I thought always of my own home.
After a week, therefore, Bilbo said goodbye to Elrond and rode away with Gandalf, the elf songs and light voices following them on the morning breeze. Day came at last when the travelers were in sight of the country where Bilbo had been born and bred, where the shapes of the land and of the trees were as well known to him as his hands and toes. Coming to a rise, he could see his own hill in the distance. He stopped suddenly.
Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone turn at last to home afar. Eyes that fire and sword have seen, and horror in the halls of stone, look at last on meadows green and trees and hills they long have known.
My dear Bilbo, you are not the hobbit you were.
No. No.
No. Come on. Come on, Gandalf. Come on.
One autumn evening, some years afterwards, Bilbo was sitting in his study, writing his memoirs. He had just settled on the choice of a title.
The Hobbit. No, it's a bit bored. There. And back again. A Hobbit's Holiday. Holiday. What a holiday. No? I wonder who that can be.
Good gracious me. Oh, dear. I'm a bit of Lobelia. I wonder if I ought to put my ring on.
Gandalf! Oh, good to see you. Come on in. Come on.
Thank you, Bilbo. I've brought an old friend to see you.
A friend?
Hello, Mr. Baddin. Barlin, eh?
Well, my dear Barlin. Come on, both of you. Come in.
Hang it, Gandalf.
I know where. Yes, you know. And you know, too, Gandalf. Hang it, Gandalf. Come on. I'll sit down here. You remember? You know where to go.
Very
well. Well. Here, by the fire. That's it. Sit yourselves down. Go on. Make yourselves comfortable.
Thank you.
The kettle won't be long, and we'll all have a nice cup of tea. And a slice of seed cake. Fill your pipes, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bilbo. You are quite well. Your waistcoat is a little more expensive.
What? Oh. I'm afraid so. Yes, well, your beard is several inches longer, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, tell me, how are things going in the land of the mountain? I think of you all so often.
I am happy to say that things are going very well.
Good.
The lake men have rebuilt Dale. The valley is rich and fertile. And the desolation is now filled with birds and blossom in spring and feasting in autumn. Much wealth goes up and down the running river and the lake. And there is the greatest of friendship between men and dwarves and the wood elves.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so glad. But what of Bard? How's he?
Bard is the new master of the lake men.
Gee.
And very popular. For, of course, he gets most of the credit for the present prosperity. They are making songs which say that in his day the rivers run with gold.
Well, then, the prophecies of the old songs have turned out to be true. I mean, you know, after a fashion.
But of course. And why should they not prove true?
Well, I mean, you don't really
suppose, do you, that all your adventures and escapes were managed by mere luck? Just for your sole benefit.
No, but I mean...
You're a very fine person, Mr. Baggins, and I am very fond of you. But you are only a little fellow in a wide world, after all.
Thank goodness, eh? Ah, there's the kettle. Come along, I'll make the tea.
Gandalf, Bilbo appears.
Writing.
Yes. Gene Chase on the left.
Well, he would never get the publisher.
And Bilbo took to writing poetry and visiting the high elves. And though many shook their heads and said, poor old Baggins, and though few believed any of his tales, he remained very happy to the end of his days. And these were extraordinarily long.